Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following is a KMOX Sports presentation.
Would love to see the first career hat trick for Ivan Barbashev. Blues get it to the corner. 1 minute to go in the period. Parayko battling there. Steve to Barbashev with Sanford. To Barbashev with an open net. Barbashev score! Take your hat off. Chuck it at the radio. It's a hat trick for Ivan Barbashev. An empty net goal, and the Blues have hat tricks in back-to-back games. They take a 5-2 lead on the Red Wings.
This is my first time being in an NCAA tournament in 5 years. So when I made that decision, and I think it was June, obviously you want to put your mind in a place where you want to think that it's a reality. You know what I mean? Obviously, nothing's guaranteed, but, you know, I looked at the roster. You know, I knew I was going to be playing with the guys beside me and the guys in the locker room right now. And I thought that they would give me the best chance to put me in a position to play on this platform, which is, you know, what every basketball player wants at some point in their life.
Welcome to the Munganass St. Louis Honda and Mitsubishi Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Here we go! It's the Munganass St. Louis Honda and Mitsubishi Sports Open Line. Chris Raby with you on a Friday night NCAA tournament time is afoot. We are about three-fifths of the way through day two of the first weekend, and it's been a fantastic weekend already. Also on the women's side, shout out to the Mizzou women for getting it done against Drake earlier today. SLU plays a little bit later tonight. That was Tremaine Isabel, who you just heard from in our open there, along with the Ivan Barbashev hat trick. So a fun couple of days of basketball, and looking forward to watching SLU tonight against Virginia Tech. That comes your way at about 9 o'clock. Lots to get to over the next 2 hours. Obviously, tons of news from Jupiter. The Cardinals on the verge of finalizing that deal with Paul Goldschmidt. Physical apparently done. And then Goldschmidt goes out and almost hits for the cycle today. And we expect a press conference maybe tomorrow morning to announce the deal that Derek Gould first reported. 5 years, $130 million. No trade clause, no opt-outs for the six-time All-Star. So we will await finalization of that, but still talk about Goldschmidt, talk about the Cardinals roster. A couple of decisions came down today. Matt Wieters, your backup catcher. Also, we know that Alex Reyes will be in the bullpen. We know Dakota Hudson is your fifth starter. We know John Gant will be in the bullpen. Mike Myers will be in the bullpen. Chasen Shreve, the other pitcher who was out of options, was DFA'd today. Tyler O'Neill makes the club as well, so it will come down to essentially either Tyler Webb or John Brebbia for the last spot, and then eventually you would hope Carlos Martinez would join the team. But the 40-man roster, I believe, with Alex Reyes coming off the disabled list, the 60-day DL, and with Matt Wieters being purchased and added, that 40-man sits at 40. So I would imagine that it's Webb or it's Brebbia, both of whom have options and both of whom could go back and forth between Memphis. So some news out of Jupiter. We'll talk with Tom Ackerman coming up in about 10 minutes on the Cardinals, on the NCAA tournament, and more. We'll also hear from Goldschmidt and Harrison Bader in our 7 o'clock hour. We'll talk a little more about SLU getting set to take on Virginia Tech tonight. And this was cool. Ozzie Smith and David Wright were in the booth with Tom today. Cardinals played against the Mets in Port St. Lucie today, and since the PGA Championship is headed to Bethpage Black in New York this summer, Ozzie officially handed over the trophy and the reins to David Wright, who is an ambassador for the tournament and for the Mets, and they joined Tom. So I thought that would be fun to hear a little bit later as well. If you want to get in touch with the program, we invite you to do so at 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900, or 800-925-7900. 1120. You can follow me on Twitter. Tweet me at C-H-R-A-B-E, C-H-R-A-B-E. Follow us on Twitter at KMOX Sports. That's where you can get breaking news, behind-the-scenes photos, and more. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Even though he's down in Florida, Ben Boyd is the executive producer of the program.
Yeah, I got a lot of him. I like him a lot. He's got a big head.
Well, he's got a bald head, Dave.
He's got a big head.
Dave?
My new boy.
Yeah. Mike Anderson is my guy.
I'm pretty happy with him.
Yeah, I am too. And he's here in the KMOX studios. Mike Anderson was, we welcome him into the program for the first time tonight.
Hey, how are you?
You were at the game with Ryan Recker last night. It was a Red Wings fan. I know that I was hoping I'd remember to ask you because you went to a game at the Joe.
Yep.
The last year that Joe Louis Arena was up, and you came back and said that Red Wing fans could not have been cooler, could not have been more hospitable, either before the game at the establishment you were at or during the game, whatever. What was it like to be sitting with the Red Wings fan last night, and does it still feel like a rivalry?
I would say the feelings of the rivalry are nothing like what they used to be. Everyone was polite to him. No one really heckled him too much, except for one person as we entered the building. So other than that, everyone was pretty nice, and even this guy was just joking. He was just kind of razzing him a little bit.
That Detroit team has a lot of young talent, and if you're a Blues fan or a fan of any team in the Central, you are hoping that they continue to lose and Ottawa figures out a way to win some games, because it would be great if Colorado, who gets that Ottawa pick since Ottawa kept it last year and drafted Brady Tkachuk, would not end up with Jack Hughes.
Yeah, it would be really nice to keep him out of the division, because who knows, once he's there, he could be there for a decade. So not somebody you're going to want to play against for, you know, the next 10 years.
I'm glad you fellas had a good time.
We did. It was fun. We actually got to compete in a competition
okay.
as well.
I didn't see this, but yes, you were on the video board, right?
Yeah, we were on the Jumbotron, yeah. On Ava, sorry. On Ava.
Yeah, it's not a Jumbotron. That is a brand.
Yes, we will dump that.
So wait. It was like a, I didn't see it, and I didn't
robbed,
see
man.
The video. It was like
robbed.
Pass a box down the aisle?
Yeah, really creative game. So yeah, a team or a girl from the marketing team, I guess, came to our row, the row behind us and the row behind them. She said, "You three rows are competing against each other. We're going to hand a box to the person in seat one of each row. And when we say go, everyone passes the box down and first row to get it to the other side wins." So our row, which was the front row, clearly for a reason, because we were so good at this, they must have sat us in front intentionally. We passed it down at lightning speed. I mean, people were almost getting hurt. It was so fast. But the problem was the gentleman at the very end of our row in the very last seat, I guess, didn't realize that to finish, he had to then hand the box to the marketing person in the other aisle. You
Come
know?
On,
he had
man.
To finish it. So we pass our box down. We beat all the other rows, and this guy's just celebrating with the box. Lo and behold, we came in last because he never handed it to the girl. We got robbed. The row behind us got T-shirts, and we got nothing.
It's almost like if you're playing flip cup and the last guy just didn't flip his cup. Like, he just started celebrating.
Yeah, yeah. That's one of those library games, right?
Yes. Well, good looking out. Good getting on the Jumbotron.
Thank you.
Hope you get another crack at the pass the box game.
Next time. Yep.
Mike Anderson and Ryan Recker representing last night at the Blues game. All right, I mentioned Slew. Do want to play this. This is Jerry Palm, who joined me earlier this week from CBS Sports, talking about Slew. What he expects?
It was a great run. I got to watch a little bit of it. We got to see the championship game, of course, but we sent some of the A-10 on the Sports Network as well. So it was good. They were picked to win the league before the season started and ended up being VCU's year in the regular season, but they made a nice comeback and got the conference tournament title and get to go to the NCAA tournament. And Virginia Tech, man, that's a tough draw. That's a really good team. They're going to have to play their best to hang around with those guys. And Virginia Tech getting healthy now, Justin Robinson back there, you know, their point guard, it's really gives them a chance to be successful in the tournament, but they got to get by the Billikens first.
Yeah, I know that oftentimes we talk in, when I say we, I mean kind of the collective we or fans or folks trying to figure this out. So I'll ask you, and you can, of course, download your bracket and see Jerry's expert bracket along with all the CBS Sports experts at CBSSports.com. How much stock do you put into maybe a team that's hot? Or again, to use a cliche, a team that doesn't really have a lot to lose. St. Louis certainly trending well and playing some pretty good basketball. How do you weigh that versus not getting caught up in that, Jerry?
Well, for the smaller conferences, I guess, or non-majors, for lack of a better word, the teams that win their conference tournament, the only way they get in, right? So, that's the team that's obviously playing well. And then, they get to the NCAA tournament, and it's like the gravy, at this point. I mean, you've got all this, build up, and now you finally got there. It's like, all right, let's just go enjoy it, see what happens, right? And those teams are loose. They, like you said, have nothing to lose. That can make them dangerous, right? That the pressure's on the higher seed in all of these games, and sometimes you see those teams buckle under that pressure. And you don't often get 13 beating fours. The 5-12 games tend to be the ones where the upsets start to happen. For the higher seeds, it's a little more rare, but you do get them sometimes. And that Virginia Tech team, though, man, that is a good team. I saw them a couple of times this year. Saw them beat Purdue in a tournament in the preseason, and they managed to beat Duke even without Justin Robinson. Of course, Zion Williamson wasn't playing either, but Buzz Williams is a great coach, and that program is in is on the rise.
Jerry Palm, SLU and Virginia Tech coming up at about 9 o'clock. We'll talk a little bit more with Tom about that. Let's say hello to Don, who's dialed in. Hey, Don, what's up?
Hi, how's it going, Chris? I got a question for you. What's the mystery with Luke Gregerson? Is he on his roster? He hasn't pitched at all this spring training, and there hasn't been much information on him. So can you give me some information on him?
I can. So he is going to open the season on the 10-day disabled list. I know he's thrown a couple of bullpens. Really kind of bizarre. Just the shoulder continues to be an issue, and I think over the next couple of weeks, he'll probably throw live batting practice. I don't know who you would take out of the bullpen to put Luke Gregerson in. I mean, is he better than Andrew Miller or Jordan Hicks? No. Is he better than Dominic Leone? No. Is he better than Alex Reyes? No. Is he better than Mike Myers or John Gant, both of whom are out of options? No. And is he better than John Brebbia or Tyler Webb? I guess because those guys could be in the minors, maybe, but you also have Carlos Martinez, who could be ready maybe in a month or so as well. So it's a good question, Don, and I think the answer is he doesn't really fit in at all.
So are they going to release him, you think?
I don't know. They don't have to right now, but he's going to be on the DL. I appreciate it, Don. Well, you know what? We'll get to some of those moves with Tom Ackerman. Coming up, it is the Mungin S, St. Louis Honda Mitsubishi Sports Open Line. Back in a moment on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Mungin S, St. Louis Honda Mitsubishi Sports Open Line. Mungin S, St. Louis Mitsubishi on South Limburg. On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
We head down to Jupiter, Florida, to check in with Tom Ackerman. He's at our T.R. Hughes Broadcast Center across from Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium. And oh, ho-hum, just a normal couple of days. Nothing really going on for you guys, right?
No, nothing. Yeah, yeah. It always seems to be this way, too. Like the end of spring training, all these things start to happen at once. You have roster moves. You have the offense starts to come around a little bit. People start to get their timing down because you have all the regular players in there. And oh, by the way, you ink big contracts, and this is the biggest contract in Cardinals history. Also a really good deal for both, I think. So we can get into all that, but yeah, a very special week and a pretty amazing home opener now, as it turns out, for Paul Goldschmidt and the Cardinals.
Yeah, I think that, a lot of people hoped, obviously, whether it be the Cardinals or fans, that this would be a long-term relationship after the acquisition in the offseason. And the Cardinals have a track record of these kinds of moves. I'm sure that, you know, regardless of what you want to say about what they gave up, they had to have an idea or at least a plan in mind to try and retain Goldschmidt. But were you surprised at how quickly this happened and how it seemingly kind of came out of nowhere? Like you said, before even he's played a regular season game?
I wondered it. You know, because I looked at him differently than Bryce Harper. Let's just use him as an example. And I'm not saying Bryce Harper is a bad guy, but Bryce Harper is represented by Scott Boras. And I really felt like that was going to be played out for a long time and was going to have a lot of drama surrounding it and was going to be the talk of the winter meetings and beyond. And that's exactly what happened. I was pleasantly surprised, actually, by the Mike Trout deal, that Trout signed his deal on a Tuesday morning and just like, you know, that's it. I'm just going to sign the biggest contract in history and let's go play some ball. I like that a lot. And I maybe, and we'll ask Paul, we were expecting the press conference to be announced here pretty soon. Maybe that was part of it. Maybe the Trout deal or some of the deals that have gone down here recently quickly might have been part of it. I don't know. But my guess is that all this has to do is that Paul just doesn't want any distractions, that he wants to play ball, and he already likes what he sees and the comfort level, and it's not going to get much better than that, so let's just go do it. You know, getting to know him a little bit, and I've you and I talked to him also right after his press conference in St. Louis. He's not on social media. He's just not into all that stuff. He just wants to play baseball and have fun and raise a family and be with his buddies and go do his thing. And I think that he's at a great age. I think the Cardinals probably pushed it a little bit. But I think the expectation for everybody is that this would linger into the season, and now it doesn't, and I think it's great.
I think that to have a guy come in and feel comfortable in the clubhouse with the facilities, with the organization, with his teammates, and obviously their families, that says a lot. And I know that the Cardinals at times, over the last couple of off seasons, Tom, have finished second or have been the bridesmaid. And, you know, we've talked about that, whether it's David Price or Jason Hayward, which was obviously a blessing in disguise in hindsight, or Giancarlo Stanton. And the common denominator is that all of those guys ended up signing for more money than Paul Goldschmidt. And I understand Goldschmidt wasn't a free agent, but to lock him up the way that you did, I think speaks volumes about where players in the industry feel the Cardinals are. I think it says a lot about the Cardinals' commitment to the team, whether it be the farm system and the prospects they have coming up, whether it be extending Miles Michaelis a month ago. I think that was probably something that Goldschmidt noticed and considered. And as frustrated as fans can get on the outside of the playoffs and missing out on free agents, like, this is about as big a home run as I think you could hit, from acquisition costs to the actual deal that he will reportedly sign tomorrow, 5 years, $130 million. Like, I'm not sure you could draw it up any better. And it's a blessing, I guess, in disguise that you missed out on some of those guys in the past.
You had to get him signed. You had to get him signed at some point. To get him signed now is terrific. Just to get him signed overall is great. And you're right. Look, I would rather have Paul Goldschmidt as the face of my franchise than Manny Machado. I would rather
have... For half the years and half the money?
All day. This is a better deal than the deal they gave Bryce Harper. Are you kidding me? 13 years? So, yeah, you have Paul Goldschmidt for five more years on top of this one.
Well,
so
and I can make the argument that Goldschmidt's a better all-around player than Harper right now also.
He is right now. He is. Now, even in 6 years, when he's 37 years old today, March 22nd, in 6 years from now, he's 31. I mean, this isn't like some ancient baseball player. He's 31.
Who's been incredibly
durable.
He's
in the prime of his career. He's built like NFL player or an NBA player. I mean, he has great ability, understanding. He plays first base, so it's not like he's getting beat up. It's not that first base is easy by any stretch, but he, you know, the DH is going to be coming to the National League at some point. I mean, he is he's a tremendous player with great vision, understanding how to take care of his body. I really believe this is a player who's going to be there throughout his mid-30s, playing very high level for the Cardinals. And by the way, it doesn't get much better than this in the NL Central. There is no one else that can bash the NL Central like him. No one. The only player who's done it better is Albert Pujols among active major leaguers. This is a guy in against the NL Central. His OPS is 979. So, you know, we're talking a guy who hits 420 lifetime at Miller Park, 323 over all NL Central parks, all of them, and 337 at Wrigley. So if I'm the Brewers and the Cubs and the Reds and the Pirates, I'm not very happy with the news that Paul Goldschmidt is now going to be sitting in your division for the next 6 years. It's a great deal for the Cardinals. It makes Colton Wong a better player, just overall. And you really did need a marketable face of the franchise type player in addition to Yadier Molina, Adam Wainwright, Miles Michaelis, Matt Carpenter, whoever it is. And then the next wave of players coming in, Jack Flaherty, Alex Reyes, Dakota Hudson, these players that are going to make their way in. You know, you need that steady star power, and they're going to have it in Paul Goldschmidt. You know, I've talked to, and you have too, so many people that believe this. And we had David Wright in the booth for a little while today. You talk about a face of the franchise guy. He knows what he's talking about. And one thing that Wright said towards the end of our conversation about Paul Goldschmidt is he said, I'm really happy that people are going to see him now on national TV more. You know, the Cardinals are a very popular team, and people are going to realize what a talent he is. I think a lot of people think that he's been buried on these West Coast games, plays in Arizona. It's not a team that's on national TV all the time. He's going to get his due now, and he'll make plenty of money, whether it's endorsements or anything else, any other awards that are coming his way. It's a great deal for Paul Goldschmidt as well, and I think it's an absolute steal for the Cardinals.
You know, in looking, and again, I think Derek Gould made just a really, I think, spot on metaphor when I was on the best podcast in baseball with him, and he was talking about, you know, if you're the Cardinals and you're presented, or you're a consumer and you're presented with a couple of options, you can get a, you know, brand new Lamborghini for $400,000 and it's a 12-year lease, or you can get a more modest, you know, used car, maybe still a high-end car, a luxury car that's a couple of years old for a third of the price and it's a 5-year lease. You know, what do you take? And at some point, you know, that Lamborghini is 10, 11, 12 years old, and it's not running like it is right now. And in year 4 or 5, if something goes wrong, the poison pill or to part ways or to cut bait with that lease, it doesn't cripple you. And then you get to the point of actually comparing the players. And, you know, you bring up the point of durability, Tom. Paul Goldschmidt's first full year in Major League Baseball was 2012. He played 48 games in 2011. First full year was 2012. He played 145 games. Bryce Harper's first full year in Major League Baseball was also 2012 when he won the Rookie of the Year. From 2012 to 2018, Goldschmidt's played 1,044 games. That's 149 per season. Harper's played 927. It's 132 per season. Goldschmidt has played an extra half season over the same amount of time. He's been worth 35.5 wins above replacement. Harper's been worth 30.5 wins above replacement. So, essentially an extra win per year. I mean, like you said, he does everything well. He just necessarily hasn't gotten the attention, and I'm sure a lot of that is by design and in his personality, but I'm still just kind of like I was when the trade came down, and no disrespect to Carson Kelly and Luke Weaver. The Cardinals certainly dealt from positions of organizational depth, but it almost still just seems, you know, too good to be true, the acquisition costs, the money, and what they're getting in him right now.
I think that Arizona just didn't think they'd be able to get him back and sign him, so they just tried to get whatever they could get, and I'm sure this was a process. I'm sure that early on, John Mozeliak had to play this as well as he could because the first ask is going to be big, probably, right? I mean, so once they found out that Arizona had made him available, I'm certain the Cardinals were on the phone every day working him over. That's a player you have to go get.
And like reportedly, the Blue Jays last winter, going into the final year of Josh Donaldson, reportedly they wanted Jack Flaherty for Josh Donaldson.
No thanks.
Yeah, like,
you know, like, and think about that now. You've been able to retain those three players I just talked about, Flaherty, Hudson, and Reyes. You have all three. You didn't give up any of them, and you have Paul Goldschmidt. And, you know, Goldschmidt's ability to hit is one thing and to field and to run the bases, but I think the teammate factor is big. I think that this is someone that, you know, the Cardinals like to, and he believes this too, that there is a stress on preparation fundamentals in this organization. And there is no better model for that than Paul Goldschmidt. That is the one that you want. If you truly want to stick with your philosophy, which is to grow young players, make them into good players, and retain them, that's the player to look up to. And then there's the beyond his career at some point when this contract expires, do you get into a Yadier Molina situation or an Adam Wainwright where you're saying, okay, how many more years and let's close this thing out as a Cardinal and let's fit you with a red jacket and let's make you part of the history and the lore, and what does that mean to the franchise value down the road that you can trot out a Paul Goldschmidt at around every corner? You know, at some point, those numbers are going to start adding up pretty quickly. I mean, he has almost 1,200 hits already, and the guy has a 398 on-base percentage. I mean, he knows how to get on base. He is going to be a threat and an offensive threat for a long time. He still has the exit velocity off his bat is as good as anybody's in the game right now. Well, you know, they do their homework. They've watched it, and today he launched a home run, and darn near would have hit. He would have hit for the cycle today. He had a double, a home run, a triple, and then they took him out of the game.
Yeah. Oh man, it's going to be fun to watch.
It is fun, you know, and it kind of you look now at opening day, which he's seen. He's been to the Cardinals' home opener as a Diamondback last year. It was going to be an incredible roar of recruitment. Now it's just a roar of appreciation and welcome. It's going to be even more so. And he doesn't appear to be a player to me that is going to be bothered by any pressure, like I have to live up to the contract or anything like that. I just think he's going to be relieved and wants to just go play ball. That is really how I feel about it. And it's a nice fit to a lineup that, I don't know, maybe it's not a coincidence that this team is, you know, starting to come together here at the end. We've been hearing all along that they're taking good at bats, that everything's going to be fine offensively, and now they're not teeing off against the best pitchers in baseball, but they're making hard contact, and that's good.
Tom Ackerman is with us on Sports Open Line down in Jupiter. Cardinals will break camp on Sunday and head to Memphis to take on the Redbirds before heading to Milwaukee for the season opener on Thursday. So Matt Wieters makes the team as backup catcher. We know Mike Myers is on the team. Jason Shreve, DFA'd. Tyler O'Neill makes the team. So pretty much everything is set save for, what, the last spot in the bullpen, right, which will be John Brebbia or potentially a second lefty in Tyler Webb.
Yeah, I guess, you know, Tommy Lane would be the other lefty that would have been out there. But it's pretty much Webb, I think, or Brebbia.
Well, and Lane's not on the 40-man, right? So that would create some more crunch.
That'd be a little complicated.
Especially with Reyes coming off the 60-day DL, yeah.
Yeah, I think you put another lefty on there. Now, I saw Webb and Shreve both pitch last night. We had the game in West Palm. Shreve struggled. Webb was kind of breezed through it. So if that gives you any indication, the next day they DFA Chase and Shreve. So that tells you what they think about Webb. But Webb hasn't made this team yet. And there's still a little time I think you need to see. There's still two more games, actually three more, but two more down here and then one in Memphis. So there's still everything is not secured and concrete until these guys get out of here healthy. That's the other thing. They want to make sure that they have it all sewn up and that everybody knows exactly where they're supposed to be, and then off we go. But yeah, those moves today, no surprises whatsoever. O'Neill, you knew, was going to make it. Mike Myers is out of options. It's a good fit. And then, you know, Matt Wieters, unfortunately for Francisco Pena, the timing of his injury was not good and it was just too hard to catch up. Wieters blocks the ball well, switch hitter, familiarity. Yadi's going to play most of the games anyway. He knows Mike Maddox. They work together in Washington. So Wieters is a good fit at catcher to back up. Your third catcher is Jairo Munoz in case of an emergency. And your catcher in Memphis is really good. Andrew Kisner, who, by the way, crushed a ball today to dead center that missed being a home run by about a foot, and it was a double for him. That guy can swing the bat.
Yeah, and it's another reason that the Cardinals were able to move Carson Kelly. So, Cardinals will break camp, and we expect a Goldschmidt press conference coming up this weekend in Jupiter. I know you've been busy, but impressions of the first day and two-thirds of the NCAA tournament. We're into some of the evening action now and getting ready for SLU to tip at about 9 o'clock Central from San Jose. But what do you think so far, man?
Very excited for SLU. Very, very excited for SLU. I can't wait to see him play tonight. I'll be somewhere watching that game around here in Palm Beach County, and I think they can win that game. And then just looking at the rest of this tournament, I was a little nervous today when I saw the score of UVA down 14 to Gardner-Webb, but Virginia does what they do. I think they opened up like 22-5, outscoring Gardner-Webb in the second half. Their defense is so good. They locked it down, finished the deal. Not surprised about UC Irvine winning. Let me see if there's any other shockers early on here. Not really. I mean, I think
Oregon, that, I think, was favored over Wisconsin. They were like a 1-point favorite over Wisconsin as a 12 seed. Iowa, they rolled in the second
Iowa's
half.
A really good team. I foolishly picked Cincinnati. I should have just kept picking Big Ten teams. That's the conference I'm most familiar with, along with the Valley. Yeah, Iowa can do that. They can bury threes. They're going to be a problem for Tennessee if Tennessee doesn't get it together. They barely beat Colgate today. The only Sweet 16 team I have knocked out right now is New Mexico State. I actually picked them to beat Auburn and Kansas, so they almost beat Auburn, but they're out. And I like, my Final Four I'm going to stay with Duke, Gonzaga, Virginia, and Iowa State, with Virginia taking it all. So you can see why I was so nervous today. My national champion was getting knocked off in the first half, but they came back and got the job done.
Yeah, that must not have been a good feeling. And maybe I'm sure they would say that they weren't even thinking about it, but it's got to be a little bit like, oh God, here we go again. And
yeah,
they
punished
Gardner-Webb down the stretch. It's like enough nonsense.
I heard one of their players, I can't remember who it was, but Kyle and I were listening on the way back from Port St. Lucie tonight, and one of the Virginia players was being interviewed on the floor by Westwood One, I do believe, and said that they were getting a little nervous, or they were looking out and they could hear the crowd roar, he said it reminded me of what happened last year at UMBC, but then they collected themselves and they came out and they did their thing. It might be hard to beat them. I mean, now that they've kind of cleared that hurdle, this
don't have
Virginia
to answer questions about it anymore.
Yeah, like, get over it now. Look, we got that out of the way. Now let's go lock this thing in and go. And of all the teams I've seen, and I did see Virginia in person this year in Chapel Hill, and they beat North Carolina, they are one of two most impressive teams I saw all year, and the other one is Duke, that I thought this team has all the pieces to win it all and will be a very, very tough out in a tournament. Virginia is now 30-3. There are three losses. Two of them are to Duke, and the other one was to Florida State, and I think maybe this experience for them, get that over with, and now let's see what they can do.
It's fun to see some of those teams sweat a little bit. Bradley had Michigan State on the ropes a little bit yesterday. Colgate played Tennessee tough. I'm wondering, and I think maybe the game I'm most intrigued about tomorrow could be Kentucky and Wofford, because of the way Seton Hall got back in that game against Wofford last night, and then they just bombs away. It was three after three after three. And Kentucky, their star P.J. Washington has been in a cast. John Calipari said that it's a sprain, but, what is his status and how does that affect Kentucky? And a team like Wofford, if they just three you to death, there's not much you can do if they're just making shots.
That is true, and I will have my eye on that game and definitely Iowa State and Ohio State, because Iowa State's one of my Final Fours. I have them in as a sixth seed. I like the teams that come out of the tournament's hot and they won the Big 12 tournament. They are the late game alongside SLU. They're playing Ohio State at 8:50 tonight, and SLU's right before 9 o'clock. So I'll be watching those two simultaneously. But yeah, I agree with you on Kentucky. I know we have a lot of Kentucky fans in our audience listening right now, and they know what I feel about Big Blue Nation. I mean, it is fun. It's a great program. But I think there's always a little nervousness when the young players get together, and will they be able in that sort of environment to stave off any sort of adversity? And Wofford could bring them some heat. And in the next round, it's either, if those two favorites win, it will either be Iowa State or Houston, both excellent teams facing them in Kansas City. You know, so it'll be, it's not an easy road for Kentucky ever. They always have the biggest spotlight on them, I feel, along with UNC and Duke and the Blue Bloods of the Midwest. What a great bracket that is with North Carolina and Kansas and Kentucky. It's really fun. I can't wait to see how it all breaks out.
And finally, shout out to the Mizzou women. I think the most successful college basketball program, hands down, in the area over the last 5 years. They win in overtime, a thriller, come from behind a couple of times, beat Drake. It's their fourth straight trip to the NCAA tournament. They'll take on Iowa on Sunday. And holy cow, like four straight trips to the tournament. No other program, men or women, can say that around here.
What a great job they've done. I'm really looking forward to seeing
what they do next. Outside of Incarnate Word, they're probably the best local basketball program.
I totally agree. You're right. No, it is. It's tradition. Mizzou basketball, Mizzou women. And I hope that people go to the games next year and support them and hang around and, you know, try to make a weekend of it. See as much of those two basketball programs as you can. They both need your support, the men and the women. But, yeah, I'm excited for the Mizzou women. And they'll play Iowa in the next round. Iowa beat Mercer today by 5 in Missouri with the overtime win over Drake. So that's really, really cool.
Tom Ackerman will have us covered for the final weekend down in Jupiter, Florida. And then we'll be in Memphis and have the Cardinals and Redbirds game on Monday. And then it's off to the regular season. Enjoy the hoops tonight, man. Enjoy the SLU game. And we'll chat over the weekend. And then I'll see you Monday at AutoZone Park.
I will see you then. Looking forward to it.
That is a really cool thing that the Cardinals do, going to play the Memphis Redbirds in Memphis. And I know Mike Anderson has been down to that park, and he loves it. They've done some incredible renovations there. They've, you know, obviously made it a little bit smaller, made it a little bit more intimate, added some more all-inclusive seats. They've done a really good job. So I'm excited to be there for the game on Monday night. And then it's off to Milwaukee upcoming as well. The Cardinals headed to Mexico to play. Pretty emotional to see Ichiro Suzuki play in Japan. And did you see the highlight? If you haven't, you should check it out. Just like on Twitter, just search Ichiro throw. He caught a fly ball in right field, pretty deep right field. And whoever was standing on second base for the A's was thinking about tagging. And he threw an absolute seed to third base. Mike, he threw it on a laser, just a straight line to third base from right field, didn't hop, caught on the fly, and everyone was like, whoa! That dude is, you know what? He probably should be the next unanimous Hall of Famer. I'm not sure who would have any issue with that. We'll take a break. Lots more baseball to come. Paul Goldschmidt, Harrison Bader, and more in hour two of the Munganess, St. Louis Honda, Mitsubishi Sports Up and Line, and KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.